You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast,
the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems
in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational,
to help make your lawn care business
an overwhelming success.
Now here's your host,
Julio Tomei. Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 39, entitled Be a Good Brand Ambassador. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me again this week for another episode of the podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in once again, and also to all of you who have reached out and commented on either Instagram posts or emailed me directly. And thank me for the show. I really appreciate you guys taking the time out to let me know what you think. And also to you guys who have left reviews on iTunes, I really appreciate that. It really helps, build brand awareness for me on the iTunes store when people are searching for podcasts. If there's reviews there to back up the content, people are more likely to give the show a listen. I also added a feature on the lawncarebusinesssuccess.com website, whereas the iTunes reviews are there automatically show up on the website under the reviews tab. So if you do leave a review, your review will also be listed there on the lawncarebusinesssuccess.com website. Now, we are about a month away from spring, and it feels like spring has sprung here, at least on the west coast of Canada. The daffodils are out now, the crocuses are out, the trees are all starting to bud. I've got a couple of magnolia trees in my front yard, and those, you can see the buds are out there, they're ready to pop. It's a really exciting time if you're in the lawn care business or landscaping business. A bunch of guys I have seen already out. I've actually seen a few guys already lawn mowing. Last week we had a string of some really nice weather, and there was on one day in particular, I think I heard lawnmowers four times that day, including one of my neighbors mowing his own lawn. So people are definitely getting out there. I did a drive-by of some of my client lawns, and for the most part, none of them seem too shaggy yet or ready for a cut yet. So I decided to hold off a little bit still. It will be any time now where I'll be having to start getting back to the mowing on a daily basis. So this week's episode is, with the lawn care season starting and you guys getting out there and being more visible with your brands and building your businesses. I was thinking about how I try to be a good ambassador for the brand that I've built. We will get into that as soon as we hear from these messages. So stay tuned. Hey guys, if you have any questions or comments about the show, I'd love to hear from you. You can head on over to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com/contact. And while you're there, why not join my mailing list and get access to a free PDF document of a landscape maintenance contract you can feel free to copy and use in your own business. For you Instagram users out there, be sure to follow me at Lawn Care Business Success. And if you haven't checked out my videos yet, well, what are you waiting for? Be sure to subscribe to the Lawn Care Business Success YouTube channel. Now, I know you guys love listening to audio while you work as much as I do, so I've partnered up with Audible to offer you guys a free 30-day trial and two free audiobooks of your choice. There's no long-term commitments, and you can cancel anytime. And get this, even if you cancel during your free trial period, you still get to keep the two free audiobooks. It's a great way to try the service and to see if Audible is right for you. So why not give it a try? Head on over to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com/audible. Now back to the show. Okay, so what do I mean by being a good brand ambassador? Well, basically, it's representing yourself, your brand, which is one and the same, usually, if you're a single owner operator. But it could be a larger company as well. And, you know, you have a sort of, not quite a mission statement, but sort of an overall cultural practice that you implement through your business so that all employees sort of take part to build that brand awareness. And what I mean by this is just simple things that you can do on a day-to-day basis to help strengthen your brand and help, build that brand awareness and the likelihood that others will call you in the future. Now, these might be customers or potential customers, I should say, that you just run into or have daily interactions with. They could be neighbors of your current clients. They could be people that you just see on the street, and they could be people that are in the neighborhoods that you normally work in, whether it's while you're driving or while you're working. And these people might not be needing the services that you provide at the moment, but it could be something that they are thinking about in the future. So I started to brainstorm some ideas on thinking, about things that I do to be a good ambassador for my brand. And I, just went and made a sort of a list. Thinking back, a lot of the stuff is just so natural to me now that I've been doing it for so many years that I don't even really have to think about it. So an example of being a good ambassador is little things like if I'm mowing a lawn in the city where there's sidewalks and things like that. If I'm mowing close to the sidewalks and say there's somebody coming by walking their dog, or a lot of times people walking with small children and things like that, I will stop the lawnmower and or the if I'm weed whacking or trimming or edging close to that sidewalk, I'll stop what I'm doing and take a step back away from the sidewalk, basically to give the person more space as they're going by, and they're not having to worry about getting nailed in the shins or something with a rock, or worrying about their maybe a toddler walking by. Who, for the most part, you'll notice with little kids that they get pretty fascinated by what you're doing with the machines and stuff. And they tend to start to drag their heels and slow their parents down as they're walking by because they're just trying to see what you're doing. They're, curious to what you're doing. So that's one of the things I'll always do is whether it's just a regular pedestrian or if it's kids going by or something like that, I've always, for, the 10 years, always stopped what I was doing, whether it's the mower, whether it's the trimming and stuff. Now, if I'm, in a front yard and I'm mowing or trimming towards the house, or along the front of the house or something, away from the sidewalk, then I'm not going to do that. But if I'm closer to the sidewalk, then that's where I will always turn off the, well, I don't turn off the mower. I just disengage the clutch that the blade stops and let the person go by and then, resume my mowing or trimming or whatever it is that I'm doing after they've passed. Another great thing that you can do that really builds sort of your brand awareness and gets you in the mind of people is to always look for opportunities where you can introduce yourself. And now what I mean by this is that you're basically, by being a brand ambassador, you're basically selling by not selling. You're selling your brand, you're selling yourself, and you're selling your services without actually doing that hard sell on, you know, do you need this done or do you need that done? You're selling your brand and yourself by doing thoughtful things for other people, which in turn, you know, puts that seed in their mind and makes them remember you. And when the time comes when they do need somebody, if there's, you know, some other competition that they've never seen before or talked to before, because they've had that interaction with you, they're more likely to give you a call first, regardless of who's knocking on their door. So an example of this is, you know, there's many times where I'll be, say, trimming some hedges, or maybe I'm pruning a tree for somebody. And a lot of times, you know, a neighbor across the street or something might be doing the exact same thing. They might be pruning a tree or trimming some hedges or something like that. And, you know, for bigger jobs and things like that, I'll be taking branches away. You know, you're putting them in your trailer, you're going to take them to the dump and stuff. And you'll notice the homeowner across the street, you know, maybe they have no way of taking that to the dump. And, you know, maybe they don't, you know, they're not doing a huge job, but, you know, most homeowners will tackle removing a branch or two or stuff like that, or some light pruning and stuff like that. So what you might want to try doing is just approaching the customer or the potential customer, potential future customer, we'll call them, across the street, and just ask them if you want, if they would like you to take away the branches for them for no charge. Say, you know, I noticed that you're trimming these trees, you got these branches to dispose of. You know, I did your neighbor across the street there. I'm going to the dump anyways. Do you want me to take these with you? You know, no charge. It's no big deal. You know, most times you're going to find, obviously, that they'll take you up on that offer. But the amount of rapport that that builds with you and that client, you know, you'll get to talking and stuff like that. And it's a great in then to leave them your postcard or leave them your business card and say, you know, maybe the next time, especially if they're saying, no, you know, that's okay, whatever. Say, no problem. Here's my card and stuff. Maybe the next time you're thinking about if you ever need to hire somebody, if it's something that you can't manage yourself and you're thinking about hiring somebody, maybe give me a call. You know, that's all that I ask. You know, and then you haul away the thing. The amount of good rapport that you build there is, you know, it's a great opportunity. And you'll find that they will, in fact, call you and at least have you quote a job if, you know, they're needing. Now, that obviously doesn't mean that you can go in there and, you know, quote whatever you want on a job after that. But, you know, as long as you're pricing fairly within the market, you know, you're more likely, even if you're a couple of dollars over or difference and stuff, they're more likely to hire you because they're comfortable with you. They know the type of person you are because of the gesture that you did for them. So that's an example there. Another example is, you know, you're driving in your vehicle all the time. You've got your truck and trailer. If you don't have, you know, your signs done on your trailer, then you should obviously definitely have your truck and trailer lettered with your signs and stuff. If you have, or if you use your vehicle, I would say, if you only have a truck and a trailer, and you use that truck, on its own for your regular driving, you should also have the truck lettered. You know, it's a missed opportunity if you're, say, driving the kids to practice in the neighborhood where you live and work, and you're not advertising. You know, that truck can be working for you 24 hours a day with logos and stuff on it in an advertising capacity. You know, if you're not working, so you're at a soccer field or a hockey rink or a football field or something like that, you're with the kids, you're doing grocery shopping, and you just have the truck, you don't have the trailer with you, at least you got the decals and stuff in there and you're advertising. Now, along that line, being a good ambassador would be, you know, because you're driving and you got those company logos on, you have to represent yourself well even when you're driving and you're in traffic. So one of the things that I always do when I'm driving, whether it's, the truck and trailer, or during certain times of the year when it's really, really busy, I'll take my little car out, and I've got some magnetic signs that I can put on that with the company logos and stuff, and use it for estimates and things. It's just a little black Kia Rio, and I purposely bought that car in black because of the company colors, and then I can put either, you know, the magnetic signs, or put real vinyl decals on it, drive that as a estimating vehicle. But regardless of the case, when you're out in traffic, you have to be thoughtful and courteous, always letting people in if they're trying to signal, not cutting people off, not losing your temper and going into crazy road rage when you're in your vehicle. And generally, I find that letting somebody in traffic, or, letting somebody turn in front of you, or whatever the case may be, it may only cost you 2 seconds, or, maybe 30 seconds or something like that. It's not really a big deal at the end of the day when you think about the whole grand scheme of things. But certainly, say speeding up because somebody beside you is trying to, merge into the lane that you're in, and, you don't want them in front of you, so you're going to go and speed up and stuff, certainly doesn't do anything positive for your brand. Whereas, slowing down and signaling to, with your hand to let them, pull in front of you, or whatever the case may be, always stopping at crosswalks, not trying to rush through. The same goes with red, lights that are changing and stuff like that. Just being overall thoughtful to your surroundings and to everybody around you when you're in your vehicle that has your company brand plastered all over it. Another thing that I always try to do, and this sort of goes back to that first point of, when I stop mowing for pedestrians and stuff, is with children, because they're always fascinated with what you're doing and slowing their parents down. Is that I always, because I've turned off the mower or turned off the clutch the mower, I always make sure I'm smiling to them, because, you might look intimidating to a child from, the most part, a lot of times you're dirty looking because your clothes, you're covered in, grass stains and grass clippings and that sort of thing. You might have dark safety glasses on, funny looking hearing protection and all that sort of stuff, and maybe kind of intimidating. So I always make sure that I smile and wave at the kids. The kids either will wave back or smile or whatever. And that shows the parents that you're being a good ambassador, right? That you're not in a rush and not being short-fused or being inconvenienced by these people walking through your work zone. You're just taking your time. Now, another thing that I've actually thought about in the past along these lines, to being a good brand ambassador, I haven't actually done this, but this is one thing that an idea that I've always sort of had in the back of my mind along the concepts of guerrilla marketing, was to have a maybe small portable, maybe fire extinguisher sized helium tank in my truck, and having custom branded balloons, maybe green balloons with black company logo on it and stuff, and every time seeing a kid come by and stuff, taking that opportunity to ask their parents if it's okay if they have a balloon, and going to the truck takes you 1 minute to go to your truck, fill a balloon and give it to the kid, and just something on the extreme. Like I said, I've never tried this before. It's another idea that I've thought of doing for In my area of town, every Christmas they have a Santa Claus parade where companies can enter their vehicles, basically, and you can decorate your vehicles with lights and stuff. And you basically drive down the main street of the little town, and everybody is out there watching, and they all line the streets on either sides of the sidewalks, and all these local businesses drive down the center. And, you know, the streets are blocked off for the parade, and all these cars at night are driving by, are all decorated with lights and stuff. And that balloon idea was another thing that I had thought about for that particular event as well. And to get some sort of, I don't even know if it's possible, but I'm sure it is getting some sort of like little LED light thing that you could maybe pop into the center of the balloon before you fill it up with air, and having a bunch of those and giving them out to the kids in the crowd that line the streets as the trucks go by. And, you know, you'd have your lit up balloon being held by all these kids down the main street. But that's where that sort of idea sort of came from. Again, not anything that I've tried yet, but just something on the extreme. I'm always thinking about extreme sort of marketing ideas along the sort of guerrilla marketing path. And that's just one of them. Now, along being with that ambassador idea, another idea that I've had is, or a thing that I do on a daily basis, is always being aware of where I'm parking, and to never ever block a neighbor's driveway. So if I'm working, I work in the dense city, so a lot of this stuff is applying to, you know, that sort of scenario, because again, this podcast is based on my experience of you know, my business. I would never tell you guys how to run a lawn mowing business or offer advice on things that I don't or haven't personally tried myself. Specifically, right, if you're looking to build crews and things like that, I'm not going to give you guys advice or talk about that, because I haven't done that. I don't do that. It's not of any interest to me at the moment. So I only offer advice on things that I'm have experience with. So you know, not blocking a neighbor's driveway because it's dense. A lot of the neighborhoods where I work in, you know, houses, like I've mentioned in the past, are getting, well, the houses are actually getting bigger, it seems, square footage wise, but they're getting bigger in the sense of multiple floors. So they'll have a, you know, maybe a basement sort of underground, and then the main floor, and then a third floor. Whereas traditionally houses were, you know, either, one floor or more popular having a two-story building as your house. But in the last few years, three-story buildings for homes are getting very, very popular. And most new houses now are all three-story houses. With these houses being so big and properties getting smaller and smaller because of the densification in the region that I live, you know, there's a lot of times where you pull into a neighborhood and driveways are like super close together because these houses are, say, 3,000, 4,000 square foot houses. And they're on a 4,000 or 5,000 square foot property. So, you know, the houses are close together, but they're taller houses sort of idea. So a lot of cases between driveways, there may just be enough room for my truck. And like I said before, I've got a 3/4 ton crew cab GMC Sierra pickup. It's a short box. And then I've got my trailer behind it. My trailer is probably only about 15 feet. You know, so that combo there. So in a lot of neighborhoods, I can park my truck, you know, and have maybe 5 feet before somebody's driveway and 5 feet on the back of my trailer between the next person's driveway. So it just fits my truck and trailer. If there's one car parked in between those houses, then, you know, I'm out of luck for parking there. I have to, you know, either go down to the next person's house and see if there's a spot between those driveways, or, you know, in some cases, I think I've mentioned before, in areas that are highly populated, I've had to skip houses and come back to them later to see if the cars were moved, because there was just no parking anywhere. You know, even if I wanted to go down the street and park, there was no parking in some cases. So I'm talking about really dense areas. So it can be really easy to, you know, if in that situation where there might be a car parked in a spot, say, and it's on your or on your customer side. So if you were to park, say, behind that car, you'd be now sticking, your trailer would be sticking out past the driveway of your customer's neighbor. So I won't do that. I won't block a customer's neighbor, their driveway, because it just ticks off a lot of people. If they have to get out, you know, or if they're coming home and now you're blocking them. So that's one thing I just don't do. I see a lot of guys doing it. They'll be walking or working in one area and they're like, whatever, I'll just park here, I don't care. So it's something that I don't do along those lines. Another thing that I don't do is, along those lines is on garbage day, is people put out their garbage bins. Here they've changed to, no longer having, people working on the garbage truck. So the garbage trucks now is just one guy who drives the garbage truck, and it's all basically hydraulic lifts and stuff. And, we, you know, the whole neighborhood had to change to these, appropriate bins, to use for garbage cans. And now the truck just drives up and this big sort of claw arm extends out the side and, grabs the garbage can and lifts it up to the top and flips it upside down and dumps it and then returns the empty garbage can back. So because of this, a lot of these garbage truck drivers now will not get out of the truck if the garbage truck is blocked, you know, where where they could easily just get out of the truck and move the garbage can. They won't do it. They will just skip it, which then means that that person's garbage isn't being picked up for another week. And that can tick off a lot of people. So that's one thing I won't do, is I won't block somebody's garbage can. But what I will do is if I pull up to a spot, is that I'll be sure to move the garbage can. So if the person has the garbage cans on, say, the sidewalk, and now I park in front because that's the only spot to park and there's plenty of room, I'm not blocking driveways on either end. What I'll do is I'll move the garbage cans either, you know, behind my trailer right up to the street area, so that if that garbage truck is coming while I'm in the backyard, you know, it's not blocking their, or it's not blocking their garbage cans and the guy's not going to skip it. So I'll make sure that, I've done that. The other thing I'll do is if I'm returning back to the truck and say the garbage trucks have gone by and now the garbage cans are maybe on the street or they've fallen over or something like that, I'll move them back. And now this is whether it's my own customers, garbage cans or, you know, the neighbor's garbage cans or something like that. And, you know, this may not be something that particular neighbor is seeing. They might not even be home. They may not even notice that you did that for them or picked up their garbage can or whatever, but somebody else in the neighborhood might be watching. So I just always do it, regardless of, you know, sort of the current situation, is just being thoughtful of, you know, the people around me. So, I'm just going to break here for another message and then we'll get back into, some other, things that you can do to be a good ambassador right after this. Hey guys, if you've listened to my show for any length of time, you know how important I think it is to have a strong online presence to help grow your business. So if you haven't already built a website for your business, well, what are you waiting for? If you just don't know where to start, well, the first step would be to find a reliable web host provider. HostaPond is the company I trust for the LawnCareBusinessSuccess.com website, as well as my own lawn care company's website. They offer unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, easy one-click WordPress installs, you get a free domain name for life, and they even offer unlimited add-on domains, so you can host multiple websites on your one account. And all this for just $3.95 a month. So if you want to check it out, head on over to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com/HostaPon. That's HostaPon. And don't worry, if you have no experience and this is still a bit overwhelming for you, I've put together a 55-minute step-by-step tutorial video for beginners called How to Build a Basic Website with WordPress and HostaPon. You can find it on the lawncarebusinesssuccess.com website as well as the Lawn Care Business Success YouTube channel. Okay, so another thing that I do always is, again, in my situation where homes are close together, and like I said, you know, you might have a couple of driveways. So, like I said, if you can picture the example I gave where you have a driveway, and then you might have the front yard of one person and the front yard of the next neighbor beside them together, and then that other person's driveway. What they'll do is, for the homes that I'm working in, they have the garage and driveway on one side of the house, and then basically the living area of the house on the other side. So you have the front yard is really only the main part of the front yard is really only on the one side of the house. And then on the other side of the house is just a smaller strip of grass. So throughout these neighborhoods, they'll have, and then the home beside it will be the opposite, orientation, where the, garage is on the opposite side of the house, so the living quarters on the other side. So if you can picture this, there'll be a home with a driveway, say, on the right side of the property, and then beside him will be a home with a garage and driveway on the left side of the property. So basically, the garages of the houses are beside each other, and they'll have a smaller strip of grass in between, and then the house beside that one will the side that has the front yard, it'll be the matching front yard of the next house beside it. So you have these areas where there's, you know, in between two houses, there'll be that larger area to park. But then on the other side of that, there'll be just the small little strip of grass between the two driveways. And then you get to that larger spot again, and it sort of continues or repeats this pattern all the way down the street. So in my situation, I've always got these houses in these neighborhoods where there's one side of the lawn, which is larger, and then the other side, which is smaller. Now on the side that's larger, where it's the main property, I'll mow that property. And in these areas, there's no fences in between these houses other than the backyard. So the front yards, if you've got, you know, your front yard, it's basically attached to the neighbor's front yard. But like I said, on one side, it's your main front yard. And then on the other side of your driveway is just a smaller shared piece of grass. So on the one side where it's larger, I'll mow that side and I'll just go right down the property line. But on the opposite side, where it's just a smaller strip of grass, maybe the whole thing is only 6 or 7 feet in between the two driveways, or maybe 10 feet in between the two driveways, and then the length of driveways, you know, you may mow just along the property line, but then it sort of looks really goofy because it's a small strip of grass, and now you've only mowed half of it. So in those smaller areas, I'll always mow the whole thing, on both sides of the customer's property. Obviously, you know, sometimes you may have issues with that, with a neighbor that doesn't want you going on their property, even though it's a tiny little, you know, 6 foot strip of shared grass where they own 3 feet of it and your customer owns 3 feet of it. They may want you to not mow their little 3 foot stripe, but for the most part, I haven't found that in these neighborhoods in particular. So I'll just mow that whole entire little strip of grass there so that it looks nice and even. On the other side, it's not as bad looking when you're mowing just down the property line because there's a whole other front yard beside it. So you're obviously not going to go and mow that whole other person's front yard. That's just something that I do to be a good brand ambassador, is just by, doing that little thing for that other neighbor. And in turn, it, just completes the look of the house you're doing as well, because you're not leaving this funny looking skinny strip of tall grass in between the two houses. Another thing that you can do is offer assistance to people where you can. So you may notice somebody, on the side of the road with their hood up, and maybe they need a jump start, or they're in a parking lot and same thing, the car's not starting. Always be there to see if you can offer that person a jump start. Another thing that's sort of less sort of in the driving, but more while you're working, is you may see neighbors or people trying to maybe load something in their car or unload a box out of their car or something like that, that may be bigger or awkward for them and they're struggling with it. That's a good opportunity to go in there again, introduce yourself and see if they need a hand. For no charge, obviously, a great way to build up your brand and being a good ambassador for your brand. An example of this was last year I was mowing and saw an elderly gentleman next door, and he had these massive, huge hanging baskets, just gorgeous hanging baskets that he had just bought. And, he was getting his ladder, but he seemed, pretty frail, and was going to, he was attempting to go up his little ladder. And his ladder was only maybe a 6 foot step ladder. And he was trying to go up the ladder to hang these hanging baskets on either side of his garage door. He had some nice wrought iron type hangers there, but when he was just trying to lift the hanging, but he was, older and more frail and couldn't, tried unsuccessfully to negotiate the lifting of the baskets while climbing up the ladder and trying to hang. You could see that he was having a hard time with it. So, I went and offered my assistance to help him go and hang the baskets up. And, he was so delighted that I did, it took me 2 seconds to go up his little ladder and hang the basket up, and then going to the opposite side of the garage and doing the same thing. But then you start to build a conversation, talking, he might start asking you what other services you provide or that sort of thing. Every time I see him now, he's always waves at me and I wave back. So you build that rapport, and I know that, if he needs anything, that he's most likely, I think he's still, I've seen him mowing his lawn still. When that time comes, he becomes no longer interested in doing it, I'm sure that he's going to give me the call as, to be the one to take care of that for him because of that rapport and being that good ambassador for my brand. Now, the last points that I have here about being a good brand ambassador are basically to volunteer in your neighborhood events where you can. So this can be as simple as, I know the local elementary schools around here have been, their PACs have been raising money to build new playgrounds. A lot of the elementary schools here have older wooden playgrounds that have been now deemed unsafe because of chemicals that were used to treat that wood back in the day, are no longer considered safe anymore. So, they've had to take out those old playgrounds, and then the pack is left having to raise money and do fundraisers and things like that to raise money to build those new, you know, colorful metal playgrounds. So they raise the money and they buy the playgrounds, but then they need help with the labor and stuff. So that's a great opportunity there to help in community sort of events like that, where you can volunteer your time and help, you know, put together the playground. You know, you have your truck and trailer there if they need to maybe dispose of anything, or maybe they need to bring in new bark mulch or things for the playground once it's done. You know, offering your services or your labor there to maybe pick up the bark mulch and deliver it, you know, and help rake it out and all that sort of stuff is great ways to build your rapport in that community, because a lot of those other volunteers obviously are all going to be potential clients. They're going to be parents and things of that neighborhood that are there volunteering as well to help build that playground. You know, you're going to be there alongside them. You may know some of them. They may be neighbors of yours, you know, or otherwise they're just there helping out. And it's just a great way to, you know, introduce yourself. You got your trailer there with all your services listed on the side of it, and you're there helping out. So that's another great way. And that's actually one of the ways that our company has done a couple of playgrounds like that as well in the neighborhood. Now, the last point that I have here is another thing that I've been thinking about as a way to sort of give back as well and being a good ambassador, is to volunteer for a charity with your business. Now, this can be as simple as trying to find you know, charities that need certain things that you can provide done. For example, one of the, you know, it might be a, say, a cancer patient, or maybe somebody who has Lou Gehrig's disease, who can no longer, you know, they're still living at home, they're still healthy in other respects, you know, and will be living for quite a bit still in their own homes, but they just can't manage to mow the lawns themselves, and maybe they're not financially able to pay for somebody to mow the lawns and that sort of thing. That could be a great opportunity to get in there and give back to your community and be a good brand ambassador for your community by providing maybe free lawn mowing for that person. You know, you can use that as an opportunity as well to advertise, you know, in your website under your community page, the sorts of things that you have done or your company has done around the community. And that could be, you know, one of the listings that you volunteer for such and such society, helping out, you know, people in need, and that sort of thing. So that could be a great thing as well. Think about, you know, the things that you have, the tools that you have at your disposal, whether it's, you know, that enclosed trailer or that open trailer. What could you do with that? Or the, or just simply your truck and stuff. Is there something that you could volunteer to do and build brand awareness while also giving back to your community? You know, maybe your local food bank needs a delivery or something like that that you can provide using your enclosed trailer or your pickup truck or something like that. Just look for opportunities and things like that. Think outside of the box. What could you do while, you know, being out there with your brand name out in public and doing a good thing for your community? And just being a positive influence. And I think you'll find that over time, these things will start to become habit, like they've done with me, You don't even think about them. You just automatically do these little things, whether it's, turning off your lawnmower to let a pedestrian walk by, or just simply, always letting traffic merge ahead of you. That sort of simple stuff can be easily done on a daily basis. And, always stopping at crosswalks is another great one to let people go by. Even though, pedestrians have the right of way when they're in a crosswalk, you find a lot of people in traffic just racing by, whether it's on the other side, maybe, not on the side the person's first entered into the crosswalk, but the opposite side of the street. They try to race by before the person gets to that point. You know, always stopping and making sure that you're not putting that person in danger or being in a big rush to save 1 second or 2 seconds and stuff, right? So it's a great way to build that rapport, especially if you're in a tight community, a small area. You're focusing on that compacting of your business to work and live and play in that same area. It can be a really great way to build that brand awareness. And like I said, over time, I'm sure you'll see that positive results will start to flourish from that. You know, the saying that, you get back what you put into it. So, being that positive influence, being that, doing those little things, those little takeaways, those little freebies that you can do, another thing, being a good ambassador for your brand. This comes to mind along the lines of, helping a neighbor, where, like I said, where you help a neighbor and ask them if they want, say, a couple of branches taken away to the dump because you're going there anyways. Another thing is for your own clients is to always do more than is expected of you, right? So even if, I've done things where I was doing a mulch job for somebody and had a bit of mulch left over in my trailer and, I was going to the next house, and this next house had a couple of trees in their boulevard with, the mulch sort of ring around the bottom of them, but they hadn't been kept up in a few years. They were, a couple of weeds popping up here and there and that sort of thing. And, without being even asked, I just cleaned them out and used that leftover mulch that I had and just threw it around the trees. Made a huge improvement in how it looked, and was no charge for the customer. And let me tell you, that paid dividends when that customer called me later on that evening when they got thing asking me if I had done it. And I just said, yeah, I explained that I did a mulch job. There was leftover mulch. Noticed that their tree could use refreshing. So I just cleaned out those weeds and stuff, and was a win-win for everybody because I got to get rid of the mulch that I had left over. And, they got their trees sort of spruced up. So that sort of stuff, it just builds up that rapport, builds up that company brand and what you stand for, and it'll pay back in dividends in the future, regardless of what you think as far as, you're not getting paid for these little things here and there. You got to think of the big picture. So I think that's it for this week. I thank you guys all again for joining me. If you guys haven't already joined the mailing list, I'd really appreciate if you guys did that. You can go to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com, and there's a bunch of different either pop-ups or areas there where you can enter your address if you want to join the mailing list. If you have already, you already know that I've along with the 8-page PDF landscape maintenance contract, which, by the way, works great as a bid proposal, and that's what I usually use it for. As my day-to-day operations, I don't really use contracts, but what I do use that contract for is for stratas, townhomes, things like that. If I'm going to go bid on that, I use that as my proposal. So I'll go in there into that PDF, change the information for that property, put in all the pricing and all the stuff that I want to bid, and then I submit that whole 8-page package to them. So it's a great thing to use as a bid proposal there. So if you haven't already joined the mailing list, when you do, you get that free download. But also this week, I also added a second download now that you'll find in the newsletter. So that newsletter edition number 4, I've changed the format slightly. Towards the bottom, there's a download section. And in that download section, there's that link to that 8-page contract. If you ever need it again, or if you've lost the email, or you lost the download itself, once you're a member of the mailing list, that download link is always there every week in each edition of the newsletter. And now I've added a second one there for a PDF for a late payment letter. So if a customer is not paying their bill on time, or they owe you money, it's a letter that you can use to change some of the information around there, add your own company logo and that sort of thing. And you've got a nicely formatted customer late payment letter that you can leave for customer to arrange a payment or to remind them that their account is overdue. So that will now be provided in that mailing list as well. You'll see that in the download section as well. So there's those two downloads. And as time goes on, I will be working on more and more downloads, and we'll be adding those to that mailing list exclusively. So the only way to get those is to join the mailing list. And, as I make more and more of those downloads available, they'll be added to the mailing list or to the newsletter that gets mailed out or emailed out each week. And so you can always go back to those newsletter editions and refer back to those download links and get those whenever you need them. So that's it for this week. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to join me next week for another episode. Until then, here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.